This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. Major changes in jury service are coming for Bethel. Beginning in January, the state court system is putting a pause on drawing jurors from a dozen nearby villages. They say the move to rely solely on Bethel-based jurors is due to limited housing options. Here's a report. Residents of Bethel will soon be significantly more likely to be called for trial jury service. That's after the Alaska court system announced that it will not be polling trial jurors from a dozen nearby villages beginning in January. Judge Brent Bennett issued the order. He says the move comes down to one core concern, housing.
We have, within the last year or so, been noticing that we've been having more and more difficulty with making hotel accommodations for the jurors who are coming into the community.
Weather delays and cancellations are the norm when flying in the region, and Bennett's order specifically cites the risks of jurors getting stranded in Bethel without options for shelter.
We're bringing these folks in by plane, and they may have, if we don't have a place for them to stay, we're flying them back and forth.
Bennett says the court has run into situations where jurors from villages needed to be flown back and forth every day for trials lasting multiple weeks. Typhoon Halong made this situation worse, but Bennett said the problems existed before the storm.
At this point, we are down to one hotel that we are able to use in Bethel.
That one hotel is the 39-room Longhouse Hotel, located around a half mile from the courthouse. General Manager Brandon West says the hotel was booked pretty much solid with relief workers in the weeks that followed Typhoon Halong. But otherwise, he says the hotel has worked well with the court system in recent years.
We've always handled their jury load. The only time that we've not accepted a jury member is if they were on our do not rent list.
The changes to jury service are scheduled to run through June 2026, but they could be extended. West says he welcomes the additional business that comes with bringing in outside jurors. The dozen outside communities currently eligible for jury selection all fall within a 50-mile radius of Bethel. That 50-mile radius has been criticized in the past for leaving out numerous communities culturally bound to the YK Delta, but generally unrepresented on Bethel juries. The upcoming changes also increase the duration of trial jury service in Bethel from 1 to 2 months. Grand jury service, which was already limited to Bethel-based jurors, is being extended to 3 months.
Based on taking these jurors from these outer communities out of the pool, the total population that we have to draw from in Bethel drops.
With this smaller jury pool, Bennett says the extensions will cut down on the frequency that the same jurors are called and increase juror diversity. Bethel has historically been one of the most expensive courts in terms of jury service. In its FY 2024 report, the Alaska court system noted that trials held in Bethel accounted for almost half of the nearly $2 million the state spent on juror expenses that year. But a court spokesperson said these costs have been dropping and that the jury changes are not based on budget concerns. Bennett says the order to exclude non-Bethel communities could be extended beyond the end of June if additional housing options don't open up in the community. But he says it's not intended to be permanent. Governor Mike Dunleavy has chosen two Mat-Su Republicans to fill vacant State House seats. In a statement on Wednesday, Dunleavy announced the appointment of Wasilla resident Steve St. Clair and Sutton resident Garrett Nilsen to the State House of Representatives. Both seats were vacated when George Rauscher of Sutton and Kathy Tilton of Wasilla were chosen by the governor to fill two vacancies in the Senate. Republican Senators Mike Schauer and Shelley Hughes both vacated their seats to focus on gubernatorial campaigns, Schauer for lieutenant governor and Hughes for governor. Nilsen will replace Rauscher as representative of House District 29. He's currently the chair of the Sutton Community Council and has lived in the area for 7 years, according to the governor's statement. St. Clair will fill Tilton's seat, representing House District 26. Officials with the governor's office say St. Clair is a retired military police officer who's lived in Wasilla for 15 years. Both Nilsen and St. Clair will have to be approved by a majority of House Republicans in order to be confirmed. Alaska's next legislative session begins on January 20th of next year. The Alaska chapter of Safari Club International took a group of men from Kipnuk deer hunting last month. The hunters were evacuees from the storm that ravaged the coast, unleashed by Typhoon Halong. After more than a month of staying in shelters and hotel rooms in Anchorage, they were quick to accept the invitation. As KMBA's Rhonda McBride tells us, what transpired turned out to be more than just a hunt.
The Safari Club and Alaska Native subsistence hunters have often been on the opposite side in debates over fish and game management. And some who have followed the politics over the years find it puzzling that the Safari Club reached out to help Kipnuk hunters displaced by the storm. But John Sturgeon, a longtime Safari Club member, says this shouldn't be a surprise.
I'm not even sure it's a hunting thing. It's just a human thing. We're hunters. They're hunters.
Sturgeon helped to organize the hunt.
We have the resources to help, and them eating wild game and going out after wild game is really important to them. And we just said, well, this is something that we can do to help, especially at Christmas time.
What started out with just five hunters snowballed. The evacuees didn't have the right clothes or gear, which they either lost in the storm or had to leave behind. Club members loaned them guns and scopes. One dug into his own pocket to outfit them for the hunt. The Safari Club bought them hunting licenses, chartered a boat from Whittier to Montague Island, where the men took 9 Sitka black-tailed deer.
We were hunting deer in a beach, which I never ever thought I would be hunting.
This was the first time Daryl John had gone hunting since the ocean carried his house away.
When I was gutting deer, I knew my family was going to eat something. It made me feel like I was providing for my family again.
Although Daryl never dreamed he'd go hunting in such a faraway place like Prince William Sound, he suddenly felt more like his old self.
It made me feel like a man again.
When the hunters returned, they wanted to share their catch with other storm evacuees. Suddenly, plans mushroomed into a feast to feed more than 200. The Safari Club collected donations of wild fish and game, which included a seal from Kodiak Island.
Seals have a strong scent, so that was the first thing I smelled.
Daryl John's wife, Lacey, knew right away what was cooking when she walked into the commercial kitchen at Alaska Pacific University.
The seal that was baking, it smelled like home. I just breathed in.
Lacey and other women from Kipnuk came to help prepare some of the dishes for the feast. There were other community volunteers like Chef Amy Foote.
We're braising the whole seal with the bone on. We'll cook it all day, nice and slow, until it falls off the bone.
The seal had to be skinned and butchered, but one of the volunteers figured out how to do that. There was also elk stew with meat donated from a fog gnat.
So I'm going to add a little more Worcestershire and maybe a little bit more pepper. What do you think?
Nice.
The deer meat that the Kipnuk hunters harvested went into big buffet pans of shepherd's pie, topped with a fluffy orange layer of sweet potatoes.
I was told by my elder to come help and make fry bread, so I'm here.
Margaret Tarrant oversees the fry bread brigade. She drops pieces of dough into the oil and fishes them out, while Elizabeth John, a Kipnuk elder, keeps her supplied with dough. She has the strong hands necessary to knead it into a saliax or fry bread. Elizabeth's hotel doesn't allow guests to cook in their rooms, so it feels good to be back in the kitchen.
I'm missing my cooking. I'm missing water, seal meat.
But more than the food, Elizabeth misses family.
We're all scattered here in Anchorage.
But the feast will help everyone reconnect.
I'm looking forward to see my family together again.
I know it's going to be a very healing experience.
What started out as 9 deer harvested from Prince William Sound has turned into something bigger for Kyle Tyler, the new president of the Alaska Safari Club.
This has been free of politics. We're neighbors helping neighbors. We're building partners in life. I have a group chat going with 5 people that I would have otherwise never met.
Tyler says it's likely to be a long time before the Kipnuk hunters will be able to go home and subsist, so Safari Club members are making plans to share knowledge about hunting grounds near Anchorage. Tyler says the relationship goes both ways. He says the Kipnuk men are expert hunters who can teach them a lot about how to handle big game. But then there's the game of politics. In recent days, the Alaska Federation of Natives blasted out an email to its members calling on them to oppose the Safari Club's latest initiative to reduce the size of the Federal Subsistence Board. If that happens, AFN says, the tribes will lose their voice. But that's a battle outside the bubble of this kitchen. For now, Lacey John shows Safari Club members how to make Eskimo ice cream or a gouda. She uses her hands to whip up Crisco and sugar. After 20 minutes of work, it finally turns into a creamy froth. Then she adds frozen berries. The women share funny stories as they work. One encourages them to pick up their big stainless steel bowls and sit on the floor and stir like they would at home in the village. But this is Anchorage, where two worlds have come together to share what matters most and to think it all started with a hunt. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yoktun Ganumchit coming up.